it is Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Morning. You all right? Lovely cup of tea as always. Got to wake up with a cup of tea. Come on, let's not be silly. It has just struck 8 a.m. And it is Tuesday, the 13th of January in the year of our Lord, 2026. Good morning to you. You are watching the BBC. Bo's Breakfast Club. Obviously, that's what that is. I'm joined by Harry. How are you, Harry? You all right this morning?
Yeah, I'm all good.
Good. This is the Bo Show, Breakfast with Bo. You are part of the glorious band, The Chosen Few. Thank you for turning up. Really appreciate it. Wouldn't be a thing without you guys, would it? I mean, really. So thank you. Right, without any further ado, let's jump straight into the news. That's what this show is. Looking at the news cycles every given day. So first of all, the papers, the front page of the papers. They're saying that sort of overall it's ADHD care costs soar and Vin Diesel. Is that a pun on Vin Diesel? Anyway, looking at the papers this morning before the show starts, there's not that many news stories about those two things. So I don't know why the BBC has said that like that's the amalgam of like the most important stories this morning. It doesn't seem to be. Big one in Britain, of course, is about the Chinese embassy story again. Anyone that watches the news regularly will know this is sort of comes up from time to time. And we're getting closer to a deadline. Apparently, the latest deadline is the 20th of January. So in a week's time, right? This time next week, is it? They keep putting, the government, the British government, keep putting sort of self-imposed deadlines on themselves and then failing to meet them. They should have had a final decision on this ages ago. And I mean like a year or two ago. And they keep pushing it back and... When we first started reporting this on Lotus Eaters, it was like, well, there was going to have some sort of decision in September, and then it was November, and then December, and now it's supposed to be the 20th of January. Ooh. So, all right, what's the story here so far this morning? It's in the Telegraph, it says, China's embassy secret threat to city. Yeah, I mean, that is the concern, isn't it? That's the worry. It says, previously redacted plans, Chinese plans, building, because the story is, the Chinese bought this big complex back in like 2017 or 2018. So there's a picture there, if you bring the picture up again, Harry, you see like there's this sprawling complex of buildings. And they bought the whole thing years ago. They actually got it for quite a steal. They got all that for like 255 million, something like that. Complete steal. Just as a straight up property deal. Anyway, part of it, or most of it, used to be the Royal Mint many moons ago. But now there's all sorts of buildings, some are apartments even, all sorts of things. And it would be the biggest embassy in Europe. Right, so it's not just, oh, this is sort of unusually large. It's just a bit larger than usual. No, it's completely unprecedentedly large. Why we let them buy it at all would be beyond me. If I controlled things, I wouldn't have let them buy the real estate in the first place. So, okay, they already own the site. But they need, they need the green light from powers that be to renovate it, to sort of make it exactly what they want. And that's what's going through now. That's the concern. Because it says, previously redacted plans reveal hidden chamber alongside critical infrastructure. Yeah, so in amongst those buildings or nearby, very nearby, is what used to be a telephone exchange. And even to this day is sort of a critical hub for communications, telecommunications, fibre optic cables, all sorts of things. And the concern is, the worry is that the Chinese will tap into that one way or another. Do espionage, do like signals intelligence espionage stuff, Well, I, for one, don't trust the Chinese. There you go. Happy to look straight into the camera and say that. Don't ask me to trust the Chinese government, because I don't. Right? Call me cynical. So that's the worry. And a lot of the plans that they've put forward, apparently loads of it's redacted. The Chinese themselves redacted, just greyed out areas. Like, you don't need to know what we plan to do there, building-wise. Like, really? We kind of do. We really do. What's the other sort of under headline? It says, Starmer expected to approve Beijing's plans before meeting Xi later this month. So, yeah. Sir Keir Starmer is planning to go and visit China, the first PM to go there in years, sort of since about 2018 or something. And the noises coming out of Number 10, you know, various briefings, various sort of leaked info, perhaps deliberately leaked info, is that he's expected to sort of green light these plans just before he goes there. So, you know, from his point of view, he can go there and shake hands with Winnie the Pooh. Xi Jinping, Winnie the Pooh, can go there and shake hands with him and say, yes, I'm a good boy, I've done everything you've wanted, that thing you want, we've done that, it's all good, and, you know, it'll be good for him, personally, interpersonally, when he goes and visits there. I mean, again, putting the interests of the nation pretty low on his list of priorities, lower than his own position, as usual. Yeah, so, I mean, that really is the worry. There've been... an open letter was sent from a bunch of MPs, Labour MPs. Was it 7 or 9 different Labour MPs sending a letter to their own government, their own party leadership, saying, you know, like, we've got real concerns about this still, though. It's the obvious thing, is that China would sort of can't really be trusted to not do espionage against us. And apparently that particular hub is like quite a critical one as well. It's not just like tapping into normal people's telephone lines that happen to live in and around Tower Hill or anything. No, it's like, I think it's like critical stuff to and from the city, the financial centres of the City of London and various other things. And the fact the Chinese aren't being completely transparent with what they mean to do with the buildings, with the building site. Again, if it was up to me, I'd completely... If it was up to me, I might even consider not having a Chinese embassy at all. Well, we won't have a British embassy in Beijing. Don't worry about that. Don't need it. Don't want it. Don't trust you. Don't like you. You're a strategic enemy or an actual enemy. So we won't have an embassy in Beijing, and you can't have one in London. All your diplomats can go home. You're untrustworthy. How does it benefit us in any way? In any way, I'd probably cut diplomatic ties with loads of countries. Probably why I'm not a diplomat, isn't it? All right, what else have they got here? Pubs face fresh tax blow with Reeves's £400 million raid on drinkers. So once again, the ongoing story, the ongoing saga that's been in the news pretty much every day, one way or another this year. Rachel Thieves planning to take more taxes and more money from pubs and from drinking itself. They always put taxes up a little bit on booze and cigarettes, don't they? Well, nearly always. So here, the Tory Graph is saying a £400 million raid on drinkers. Police, quote, ignored threat to Maccabee, quote, as activists plotted against players. Again, that's a story from yesterday, so I won't do it in any real detail. We were told the Tel Aviv Maccabee fans were a menace and can't be allowed to go to Villa Park for a football game. And when it turns out it was the other way round, it was the Maccabee fans that were sort of in danger, effectively. And the police just completely lied about it, just protected the Muslims. There you go. Still the fallout from that. The FT, the Financial Times, what have we got? Former Fed chief attack emerging market style investigation of Powell. Economics and advisors join rebuke of Trump. Well, of the DOJ, rather. Fears for policy independence. Trump denies knowing of probe. Okay, so this is a story. We touched on it yesterday, didn't we? And I said I'd read all about it. Read all about it. Which I have done now, so I'll bring you the details of that. So, okay. One second. Quick drink of tea. Right. So, The Department of Justice, i.e. the US government department, which is in charge of bringing prosecutions against people, have brought a criminal prosecution against Jerome Powell. Okay, was the leader of the Fed. And it is sort of unprecedented. I don't remember, I can't recall any time that's happened in the past. And it, on paper, there's two levels to this. It's like what's happening on paper and then what people are saying is sort of really going on, sort of the real motivations and things. So first of all, on paper, it's supposed to be a furore, a row, all about that he lied under oath in front of a congressional, or was it senatorial committee, like last year. By the way, he's a Trump pick. Trump picked him during his first term. But nonetheless, that doesn't necessarily mean anything, you know, like a president can pick someone, then fall out with them and become a political enemy with them later, further down the road. I mean, that's not uncommon at all for something like that to happen. But just incidentally, he was a Trump pick in the first instance, but that doesn't really mean anything. OK, so about a year ago, you know, when you're under oath, you sort of, you know, you can perjure yourself if you lie, just like in a court. If you tell a lie in court, that's a crime, isn't it? Perjury. So the same goes for a lot of senatorial and congressional hearings. You're not allowed to lie. If you're later shown to have lied, that's a problem. That's why quite often people just rely on, I do not recall, because that's not a lie. They can't prove that you don't recall. So you just, that's an out, rather than you've been cornered to the point where you're going to have to lie. So instead of that, you just say, I just don't remember, I just don't recall. If you ever find anyone saying that, you know that they're dodgy. Oh, I don't recall. Remember when Rishi Sunak kept saying that repeatedly over and over and over and over again in a COVID inquiry, even though the events were only like a few months ago or a year ago, just like a dozen times saying, I don't recall. Okay. Anyway, on with this, the Fed chief. It was a question all about, it's like a relatively small thing, really, in the scheme of things. That they were renovating some buildings. The Federal Reserve, want to or are renovating a couple of buildings. You know, big buildings, right? And it was going to cost, they thought it would cost like $2.5 billion to do. And he was quizzed all about it. Jerome Powell. And then a bit further down the line, it was, it looks like the budget has spiraled a bit. It's now like over $3 billion. And, yeah, who knows if there's anything dodgy really going on there or not. Quite often all building projects run over. That's sort of par for the course, isn't it? But so the DOJ have decided that he's actually done something criminal giving those testimonies. Now, Trump claims that he didn't know anything about it. Because his enemies are saying, Trump's just going after the Fed. This is just a witch hunt. This is just the president trying to take more control over the Federal Reserve. And it's Trump going after his political enemies. Well, Trump claims, whether you believe him or not, Trump claims he didn't know anything about it. Because the DOJ can't and won't tell the president every single thing they're doing. You know, I suppose a president could insist that his head of the DOJ, it's Pam Bondi in this case, isn't it? He could insist that anything of any real note, run it by me. I suppose the president could do that. But Trump doesn't. Usually the president wouldn't. They've got enough on their plate as it is already. He's wearing so many hats as the president of the United States. Anyway, Trump claims that he didn't know anything about it. So when his detractors, people like, I don't know, Elizabeth Warren, right, or Janet Yellen, Janet the Felon Yellen, when they say, this is Mr. Trump's overreach, this is Mr. Trump going after his political enemies, well, apparently he didn't even know anything about it. I mean, if you believe that, I'm prepared to believe Trump on that. Probably, I think. So they're saying it's about this lying about the money it costs to renovate a couple of buildings. But the layer below that is what I've just already touched on, that whether central banks, whether it's the Bank of England or the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve is a bit, it's a different thing fundamentally to the Bank of England and other central banks. I won't get into it because it's so complicated. And maybe it's one really for Dan and Brokenomics. That the nature of the Federal Reserve It is complicated. I'm interested in it, you know. I used to be in banking, so I've read a fair bit about the history of the Federal Reserve and stuff over the years, and haven't got time to go into it here. But fundamentally, this is at the crux of it: is it who should have the power to set interest rates, federal interest rates? Should it be a completely independent Federal Reserve body? Hesitate really to call them a central bank, but anyway, the Federal Reserve. Should it be those guys, some sort of monetary policy committee there? Or should it be, you know, like the Treasury, the actual Federal Treasury, or the President himself even? Should it be that the President can say, I think interest rates should be cut by 0.25% this month? Well, at the moment, and it's been the way for the long time in America, like 100 years or whatever, that the Federal Reserve get to do that. They completely make that decision independently. The President cannot tell them to higher or lower interest rates. Now, quick equivalence in the UK, the Bank of England, like Gordon Brown, like what, 20 years ago or something, gave full independence to the Bank of England to do that. Before Gordon Brown, it was the government, it was the Treasury. Her Majesty's Treasury got to make that decision. In other words, the government, like the Prime Minister, could sort of send word down to the Treasury to change the interest rate. Gordon Brown got rid of that and let a monetary policy committee at the Bank of England do it. So different countries do it slightly differently. It's not sort of written in stone that, like, this is the way it must be and anything other than this is just wrong and bad. I wouldn't say that's the case. It could be one way or the other. Is a president, you know, is it sort of fiscally irresponsible or like morally wrong or anything for a president to have that power? I don't think so. Nonetheless, it's not the way the United States have done it for a long time. And I know that there's a lot of people in the United States and in the wider world who are deeply, deeply suspicious of the Federal Reserve. I am. Like, when you look into the details of what the Federal Reserve actually is, how it works, who really runs it, owns it, controls it. You know, it's like, really? That's how you're doing things? So this is the row. And Jerome Powell's been sort of fully subpoenaed, right, indicted. He is being charged with a criminal offence. And he came out and made a little video. I saw it this morning. It was like the bit I saw was like a minute long, probably a bit longer than that, unredacted, but it was like a minute long of him saying, this is what's going on. You know, I'm completely innocent. This is just sort of a witch hunt. I'm paraphrasing. But this is sort of a witch hunt by Donald Trump, and I've done nothing wrong. It's absolutely outrageous that you could even imagine that I might lie, all that. And that's unusual. Usually once the DOJ launches a criminal investigation into you, most people just keep quiet at that point. It's the prudent thing to do, right? If anyone's out there and you're going through a court case, probably don't make a YouTube video about it. The courts don't like that. And you'll probably damage yourself. You almost certainly damage yourself in your case. But obviously, Jerome Powell and his team, he will have a team of people around him, are a bit more savvy than that. They've made a political calculation that it actually is in their interest in this case to sort of make a statement about it. All right, so, I mean, that's an ongoing thing. We'll see what happens. You know, Trump certainly is going after a bunch of his political enemies, rightly or wrongly. I mean, some of them, I think, are just, like James Comey or John Bolton. Right? Both those cases, for example, I think totally Trump is right to do that, in my opinion. You know, it is a slippery slope, but nonetheless, you know, I hope Comey and Bolton end up in jail, personally, particularly Bolton. Well, actually, both of them. They're both scumbags. Comey almost certainly did something wrong. Whether John Bolton did or not is much more of a grey area, but I'd still like to see him banged up in clink for the rest of his life. Oh, yeah. Economic advisors join rebuke. So loads of the other, I think I saw somewhere written, all the living ex-heads of the Federal Reserve came out in support of Jerome Powell and rebuked Trump. But sort of course they would, in a way, you know, like it's their club. It really is like a bit like a club, in what in Britain we'd call an old boys network, the old boys club. So they all came out in support, but you sort of, you would expect that, I would think. Zahari conquers fears of Farage to join reform as highest value Tory defector. So that's the story that Nadhim Zahawi, the ex-Chancellor of the Exchequer, was the Chancellor of the Exchequer under Boris. So during the Boris wave and stuff, during the COVID stuff, he was Chancellor. So an arch traitor of Britain and the British people, in my opinion, couple of times over. True scumbag, in my opinion. Like someone that should answer for crimes against the people and the nation, in my opinion. He's joined reform. There you go. Farage opened him with open arms. You know, Rupert Lowe is beyond the pale. They tried to put him in prison under what later emerged to be almost certainly false allegations. Rupert Lowe is beyond the pale. But Zahawi, an Iraqi-born man, seems to be a fifth columnist, in my opinion. Like, loves mass immigration and globalisation, gloating about Somalis sending loads of money out of our economy back home. All that, all the stuff, all the things. Nyaj opens him with open arms, apparently. He's a highest value Tory defector. I mean, I guess the calculation is, or Nyaj himself said, that, you know, this is a man who's extremely successful in business. Let's put a question mark over that. You know, whether it was all legit business practices, I mean. Certainly did make a lot of money. That's a matter of record. And that he's climbed, successfully climbed the slippery slope of politics. And he gets things done. Yes, does he? What things, though? Were they good things he got done? Is it great that he climbed that slippery pole of politics during, like, the Tory years under Boris? Is that great? Is that a tick in his column? Or, as a lot of people think, certainly on the right, or probably actually also on the left, probably think that's actually a detriment to his character and his political career. Nonetheless, Nigel welcomes him with open arms. I guess the calculation is, in Nigel's mind, it's like just the prestige, the gravitas of having an ex-Chancellor of the Exchequer. Just that, regardless of how hated he is or how terrible he was at the job. But nonetheless, he was one of the most senior Secretaries of State, so it lends a type of gravitas to reform. I mean, I thought that was exactly what reform were against, was all those ex-Tories. I thought that was kind of one of the main points of reform, was to offer an alternative to people exactly like Zahari. Well, there you go. Well, as that headline suggests, that Zahari conquers fears of Farage, because in the past, he's like just called Nigel racist and things. He changed his tune now. Oh, another part of that story is that he was, Nadhim Zahawi, was trying to get a peerage, become, you know, sit in the House of Lords, and then you're set for life. Right? He's already set for life. He's already a very, very rich individual, as I understand it. But, you know, once you've got a peerage, everything's cushy. And he was rejected. It looks like he wasn't, almost certainly, well, wasn't going to get ennobled, wasn't going to become the Lord Zahawi. And so because of that, he wants to try and revive his political career then. And so he's made a decision, a calculation, that he can try and be back in government by joining reform. I would have thought, I would have hoped that Nigel would make a better decision than that. He'd be like, no. Like, it's like having Matt Hancock or something. Like, no, you're the enemy. You're part of the problem. You're what we're fighting against, if anything. I would have hoped that Nigel for himself would have made that decision, or the people around Nigel, his team, would have said, no, wait, don't do this one, though. I mean, Nadine Dorries, all right. Someone like Lee Anderson, a okay, all right, we need some people at least, but Nadim Zahari, really? Him? Sort of the an arch enemy, it should be. Should be an arch enemy of Nigel and Reform, but politically speaking. But all right, there you go. The Metro crash gangs wallop. Is that a pun? It's a poor one if it is. Slap bang wallop. Crash gangs walloped. Is it? Okay. All right. Raids key to falling homicides, say police. Metro joins Dawn drug bust as Metro reveals its war on Turkish mafia and country lines groups. Okay, this is the story that the Metro, one of the worst rags in Britain, saying that the police have raided, well, they went on this one particular raid, but the story is broader, that the police have been raiding more and more organised gang crimes, particularly Turkish mafia. Do I need to put that in inverted commas? Turkish mafia? Yeah, that there is loads and loads of organised crime in Britain. Loads. I mean, there was a segment on the main afternoon podcast of the Lotus Eaters a little while ago saying, like, if I remember rightly, maybe I'm exaggerating this slightly in my mind, maybe I'm not, but it was something like one in every £10 in the economy. So a tenth of the entire economy is sort of the black illegal economy. Yeah, and when you look at nearly every high street up and down the length and breadth of this country, there were like fake barbers, fake Turkish barbers, fake vape shops, fake sweet shops, which are, they're obviously fronts for crime in all sorts of ways, whether it's just money laundering or whether they're fronts for other things, drug smuggling, the drugs industry, people smuggling, all sorts of things. It's massive. And a lot of the, you know, in Parliament, they don't talk about it very much. Every now and again, Richard Tice, Dicey Ticey, has actually not been too bad on it. I've seen him actually really pipe up a number of times talking about fake sweet shops and fake barbers. Because usually when a normal person notices and says, the lefty media or the corporate mainstream media will just instantly accuse you of being a bigot or a racist or something for sort of daring to notice, let alone say anything about it. Even though it's so obvious, it's obvious at a glance, as I say, in nearly every high street. So, okay, the story, though, from the Metro is that the police have been doing increasing number of raids, and that, among other things, that has contributed to a fall in homicides, at least in the capital. So good, but critics, I would count myself among them, say that it doesn't go far enough. Like the police, and the Home Office ultimately, are not doing enough, not going far enough, hard enough on smashing these gangs. Getting rid of them. Clear them out. We've got to clear them out. We really do, though. We really do. It's a blight on our society. Like, you walk past these shops, and it's like, it's sick of it. There's never anyone in them. All the shelves are pristine because no one ever touches them, because no one ever goes in them. There's someone sitting behind the counter just playing on his phone. Or even got a lookout outside the front. Like, there's a barbershop I walk by nearly every morning, and there's quite literally a lookout sitting out front of it. Or like a tricked out Merc with darkened windows parks up outside of it all the time. It's obviously organised crime. Horrible, horrible, horrible. I would, again, if I was a Lord Protector in Bowes, Britain, I would put unbelievable resources into smashing that to bits. All of that. There would be a war on it, if it were up to me. I don't want a society riddled with organised crime. Sorry, not sorry. You know, like, come on. Never used to be like that until just a few years ago. Really, just like 10, 15 years ago. Certainly 20 years ago plus, when I was growing up, when I was a kid or a teenager in the 90s. It just wasn't a thing. You didn't have loads and loads and loads of fake shop frontages that are obviously foreign-controlled organised crime. this country. Under 16, what is this, the eye paper, is it? Yeah, the eye paper. UK under-16s could be banned from social media within months. Aussie style. So it's Liz Kendall and the government doing more censorship. It may or may not be that bad. I've got mixed feelings about this. We've done a segment on this before as well. If you're a kid, you know, under 16, might be better if you don't get to see loads of gore and snuff footage and hardcore porn. Might be better if that isn't passed around the playgrounds in primary schools. But then there is the angle of just government censorship. Should it not be on the parents or maybe even the schools to sort of police that stuff? Is it the job of the government to say, it's a difficult one. Let's see, what's the under headlines they say? The government is open to following Australia with UK-wide ban amid fears over harm to children. Yeah, it's a legit concern, isn't it? I would be worried if I had a little kid in primary school and some other kid just shows them something horrific on a phone in the playground, just turns the thing to them. Go, there you go. That's your psyche ruined for life. It's a worry. The Technology Secretary, Liz Kendall, is understood to be open-minded about a possible restriction. Department of Health researching the evidence base and implementation for the Australian policy change after its social media ban came into force in December. New guidelines also announced the technology use for under fives on back of recent evidence that high screen time levels could affect language development. Again, sorry, this is right at the limit of my eyesight, how small the writing is. I will be driven by evidence, says Kendall. Well, I think she'll be driven by ideology and what her boss says. That's what I think. Liz Kendall. What a Karen. What a perfect embodiment of a pretty much know-nothing Karen. Liz Kendall, Jesus Christ. Sorry, shouldn't blaspheme. All right. Daily Express. Tell truth on fantasy cost of net zero push. This is a story all about that. There's been a report saying that Ed Miliband's net zero plans, or just net zero plans in general, actually will cost an insane amount of money in reality. Yeah, everyone's been saying, every opponent of net zero has been saying that since day one. I mean, that's one thing Reform have been good on. Both Tice and Nige, before Nige was leader, when it was Tice, they've both been good on that. That it's kind of crazy. It's kind of a nonsense. It will bankrupt the nation if you try and do it. It said Ed Miliband's net zero project could leave the taxpayer with a huge bill of $9 trillion. That's with a T. £9 trillion, a report has claimed, which is obviously an absurd amount of money. We haven't got anything like that. That's $9 trillion. What? Isn't that most of the world's money? That's a silly number that we could never, ever, ever, ever come remotely close to even a fraction of being able to afford that. The Express sort of trying to dunk on net zero, or is dunking on net zero and Ed Miliband. I mean, it's a crazy thing. Trump calls it a hoax, doesn't he? It's just straight up, like, global warming and things is a hoax. Or the drive for net zero, or the idea that carbon dioxide drives climate change in any profound sense. Man-made CO2 drives climate change. That all of that is a hoax, Trump says. I mean, isn't CO2 something like 400 or 450 parts per million, 500 parts per million, something like that? In other words, a very, very, very small amount of the atmosphere. Very small. I mean, put that in perspective, 450 parts per million. You know how big a million is compared to 450? Does CO2 drive climate change? Does it? Do we need to rework all of our economies and our entire world because of it? Do we? Is that necessary? All right, let's move on. The Times. Jewish MP school visit scuppered by pro-Palestine teachers. Wouldn't be surprised. Lots and lots of teachers in the UK do wear hijabs. UK's troops set to swoop on Kremlin's shadow fleet. Special forces could target hundreds of tankers. I mean, that is one thing we do do. The Royal Marines, like 4-2 Commando. Well, there's various Royal Marine Commando units. Oh, and the SBS, the Special Boat Service. You can call in the SAS if you need to. We've got various military outfits that are capable of storming tankers. We've actually got, that's one of the things we probably could do reasonably well. Right. We haven't got a fleet of AWACS craft. We haven't got like 10 aircraft carriers. Got a couple, but one thing we could do, one thing we're not too bad at, would be doing that. So there's a story there saying that we're set to sort of swoop in on Mr. Putin's ghost tankers, his zombie ships. See that last week? They was calling them zombie ships, zombie tankers. All right. Iran seeks US talks amid threat of airstrike. So this is a bit of a... It's funny how capricious the news cycle is, isn't it? Not funny, ha-ha. Funny, interesting. How sort of changeable the news cycle is. Yesterday it was wall-to-wall Iran, wasn't it? Today, not so much. Well, in the UK press, when we look at the American papers in a bit, there's much more, but... Still, it was sort of front pages across the board almost yesterday. This morning, not so much. The editors have decided it's not as important as they thought it was yesterday. So, here's one. Iran seeks US talks amid threats of airstrikes. So Trump is sort of threatening. We'll get into some more detail of what he said overnight about various tariffs and economic measures. But that the Iran actually wants to talk to the US to sort of try and prevent them from launching, I imagine, Tomahawk cruise missiles at them. Missiles in various ways. Okay, the Daily Mail. What's the Daily Mail going with? Fury over Labour payout to Herman's Guantanamo client. Backlash as government approves substantial compensation to terror suspect once represented by Attorney General. So this is a story where there was a guy who was captured. Was it actually in Afghanistan in like 2001 or no? He was captured in 2002. A guy was captured in 2002, apparently a British person. His name's Abu Zubaydah. Abu Zubaydah, a British national. He was captured effectively on the battlefield in 2002 by the US, taken to Gitmo Bay, held there for a long, long, long time. He was actually... represented in his legal struggles by the guy that's now Lord Herman, who's now obviously 20 plus years later the Attorney General. And it looks like he could, or has in fact, I think it's a fait accompli, it's happened. Has got substantial compensation. I'm not sure the exact number, whether it's hundreds of thousands of pounds or whether it's millions, I don't know. Because he argued, or his team argued, that the UK were complicit in his torture. Because people say that Guantanamo Bay sort of in and of itself constitutes torture, the way you're treated there. Whether it's actual sort of waterboarding and stress positions, or just the fact that you're in Guantanamo Bay at all, that the conditions are harsh, well, relatively harsh, compared to, you know, European prisons and jails. But, you know, other people say, well, if you're a terrorist captured on the battlefield, shouldn't you suffer relatively harsh conditions? But I don't know. I actually don't know all the details. If he was fully, you know, waterboarded or whatever, you know, sleep deprivation could be any number of things, couldn't it? But, yeah, apparently our government has now approved substantial compensation to this fella. It's just one more example, in my opinion, broadly speaking. I'm talking more broadly now, beyond just this individual person and his payout. Our government just seems to capitulate to anyone and every enemy of our country, you know, like the Chagos Islands, for example. Anything that's not in our, almost anything that's not in our interest, which is a detriment to us, they go for and do and are positive about. So yeah, some guy claiming we're complicit in his torture. Some Abu Zabadiah guy says we're complicit in his torture. Yeah, sure. Have some substantial compensation. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Why not? Yeah, definitely. This hand-wringing, pearl-clutching, we're always in the wrong, we're the baddies. That stuff. That's our government. That's who they are. All right. The Guardian. The Guardian. They go with ADHD care costs soar as NHS turns to private sector. So that's finally a story about ADHD. Gotta say, just a bit of sort of personal preference here. Don't really care about ADHD. I don't have ADHD. You know, it's like the Michael J. Fox thing of like Michael J. Fox cares about Parkinson's because he's got Parkinson's. If you haven't got Parkinson's or no one you know in your family have got Parkinson's, you probably don't care that much about Parkinson's. It's just the way it is, you know. It's just the way it is. Yeah, I don't have ADHD. I don't know anyone who has, so... I also think a lot of people are diagnosed with ADHD or something equivalent. Loads of people are diagnosed with, like, really mild autism or Asperger's. And it's just... No, they're just a little bit weird. Right, I think there's an over-diagnosis of these things. But I'm no doctor, I'm no MD, I'm no medical doctor, so take that with a pinch of salt. It's probably not worth anything, that opinion, maybe, possibly. But ADHD costs soar. All right, do they? Next thing. Iran downplays protests as anti-US crowds rally. So this is part of the thing that I mentioned yesterday. There is an element, there is an argument to be made that a lot of the protests in Iran weren't necessarily quite as severe as they were being made out to be. I read it again, I don't know, because I'm not on the ground. But it could be that the regime is sort of nowhere close to top. Even if all those protests were as severe as they looked and the death toll is as high as some say it is, all that still might add up to the net result of the regime isn't close to toppling, still. I mean, I said my prediction, wasn't it, that they would still be there this time next week? Yeah, I mean, probably. Who knows? As I say, we could wake up the next morning, wake up tomorrow, and the Ayatollahs are gone. But I'll believe it when I see it. That's all I can say. So many false dawns. How many false dawns do we need in like an Iran regime thing before you realise... Just wait and see till it actually happens. Otherwise, it's probably not going to happen. Zahari moves to reform amid peerage bid claims. Yeah, that's the angle that he wanted to try and become a lord and has failed. The Sun. What have we got in The Sun? Fuel pumps to start vanishing within 4 years. Bin diesel. That's surely a pun on Vin Diesel, isn't it? Bin diesel. Yeah, that's a story that, like, because, you know, at most petrol stations, you can get petrol or diesel. And that they're trying to phase out diesel. Because it's a bit of a dirtier petrol. There's some petrol heads that like diesel, think diesel's good. Okay, that's the world we live in, isn't it? Further push towards electric cars and, you know, phasing out diesel. So the Sun thinks that's front page news today. Rush to Leckie cars. So move towards electric cars and move away from diesel all at the same time. Fuel pumps to start vanishing within 4 years. All right. The Star. I was about to say before I scroll down, I wonder what slop they've gone with today. Well, it's something about Greg Wallace. If anyone's foreign or American or Australian or something, this guy, Greg Wallace, just used to be on TV loads. It was just like a staple of various presenting roles. And he was kind of cancelled for allegedly sort of being rude towards women, if you put it that way. You know, I don't think there was allegations. I'm pretty sure he's certainly not been convicted of any like actual full blown sex crime or anything like that. I think he was just like made like kind of lewd jokes and things. But even that was enough. You know, some Me Too women came out and said, Greg Wallace is a disgrace and he's all that sort of thing, but I don't think it amounted to much. Well, the headline is here. Greg, sorry, not sorry. lewd gags no worse than Bake Off. So the little thing says there, if I can just about read it. Sacked Greg Wallace apologised for his MasterChef antics. Oh yeah, he was on MasterChef and Celebrity MasterChef, among other things. He did actually present all sorts of other shows. He apologised for his MasterChef antics, then defended gags about spotted dick, nuts and little tarts. And then the star says, Greg, mate, that's not really being sorry. So, yeah, I don't actually know the extent of Greg Wallace's misdemeanours. Let's call them misdemeanours. I mean, maybe that's even a bit too strong. I don't know if he, like, pinched some women's bums or slapped them on the bum or was just sort of lewd, sort of made a comment about their boobs or something. I think it was that sort of level, right? Not real sex crime, but just... just a little bit, like, lewd or something. Or, yeah, making jokes about spotted dick and little tarts, stuff like that. So, I mean, in my opinion, I don't think there's... if that was all he ever did, just make sort of lewd comments about things, it's not that bad, is it? Come on, let's have a sense of humour. How prudish are we going to make our society? Like, really, really sort of Sharia-level prudishness? Is that where we're going with it? Like, you can't say anything risque ever? Is that where we're going with it? You can't make a joke about... you can't make a pun about nuts. Really? That's where we're going with things? Is it? All right. Let's have a quick look at the actual websites. BBC. Trump briefed on military and covert options for Iran, sources say. Yeah, I did see him come out and say that any country that does any business with Iran will get immediate 25% tariffs slapped on them. So, there you go. He's basically just trying to isolate Iran as much as possible, economically speaking. ITV News. Iran's supreme leader warns US as death toll from protests rises. So they're continuing yesterday's news cycle of just that there's more and more deaths. Channel 4 News, real slop. This blood will come back to haunt you, family of Iranian students shot dead, say. Channel 4 News, worst of the worst. Sky News. BBC to file motion to dismiss Trump defamation lawsuit over Panorama edit. Yeah, so quick word on that. Panorama, if anyone doesn't know, very quickly. Panorama did a documentary, if you want to call it that. Not a propaganda piece. They created a quote-unquote documentary just before the last US presidential election, and they re-edited Trump's January the 6th speech to make it look like he had directly and explicitly called for people to march on Capitol Hill, which he didn't. They took bits from like almost an hour apart in the speech and put them together, and it looked like he was basically saying, let's all go down to the Capitol and storm it, when he never said any such thing. And Trump's taken them to court in Florida. He's brought a defamation lawsuit against the BBC and trying to claim billions of pounds, or is it dollars? Like £5 billion or dollars, which the BBC could not afford. And so the BBC now have filed a motion to dismiss that before it fully goes to court. I think one of their main arguments was that, oh, but Trump won the election anyway, so how was it even defamation? It's a very shaky argument, that, isn't it? You know, it's like, I tried to shoot someone in the head, but I missed. What's wrong with that? I didn't, you know, I don't know. BBC. Filth. The Daily Mail. Shocking footage shows Sayat Leon racing through suburban roads at 122 miles per hour, uploaded by teen who was killed in horrific head-on a smash just hours later. Clip now part of police probe into crash that left 4 dead. Dicing with death. Okay. Sad. Bad. Not good. Is it like the top story today in the world? I don't think so, but... I mean, yeah, young people driving extremely fast. It's probably almost certainly not going to end well. I mean, Sayat Leon. I was about to say. People that own extremely powerful cars, Because quite often that is. A younger person who's not that experienced behind the wheel somehow gets in something extremely powerful, you know, like a souped-up Merc or Beamer or something, and crash and kill themselves and or others. I was going to say there should be special driving requirements for people that have extremely powerful cars. Like sometimes you get someone who's young and somehow get their hands on a Porsche or Ferrari and totally within days or whatever, because they can't handle it. Because it's difficult to drive an extremely powerful car. You need to know what you're doing. You need to be able to feel the grip, right? Anyway, but it was a Seat Leon. So it's not even a case of that. It's not even a case of someone... It's sad. It's sad, isn't it? I mean, but is that really front page news? The Express. Horror conscription warning for two groups of Brits, with UK army weakest for 200 years. Yes, this is a story that keeps coming around more and more, that the powers that be want to be able to have a much, much stronger, bigger sort of standing army. And in order to do that, because a lot of people have lost faith in their own government, don't want to fight for the government, the conscription is down. Sorry, the voluntary joining of the armed forces is way, way down. And the government are saying that the only way to sort of deal with that is conscription. Well, good luck with that. I don't know anyone, really. I don't really know anyone, IRL, who's sort of up for that or interested in that, you know. Talked to quite a lot of Zoomers in the office, even. There's a fair few 20-year-olds, 20-somethings in the Lotus Eaters office. None of them would dream of being interested in that. I mean, Harry, you're 20, right?
I am, yeah.
What were your thoughts and feelings if you got a letter in the post that said, you have to join the army now and do a year or two in the army?
I just wouldn't. It's not, I mean, this isn't the government I'd want to fight for.
There you go. That's the voice of the Zoomer there. Just a real opinion from an actual real-life Zoomer. Are you even the generation younger than Zoomer? What's the generation they call that's younger than Zoomers?
Alpha.
Are you that? Does that count?
No,
I don't know.
I'm Zoomer.
Okay, you're Zoomer. Okay. I don't know where the alpha starts. I don't know all these things. All right. Let's have a quick look. The Sun, not appy. This is a story that, it says, Fury, as pathetic PM's laughable brainwave to stop channel migrant dinghies is revealed to be a new TikTok account, an app. Not appy. Very funny. Very, very, very witty and funny from The Sun there. Oh, so droll. I've only got so many ribs. That's a real rib tickler, that one. It's a real groin wrecker. Not appy. Okay, the New York Slimes. US used aircraft that looked like civilian plane in September boat attack. This is a story that, yeah, when the US military blew up some Venezuelan boats in the Gulf of Mexico, would it be, or just off the coast of Venezuela in the Atlantic. They used a plane that wasn't clearly marked as a US military plane. It was made to look just like a civilian one. And that may be a war crime, according to Hegseth's enemies, according to Trump's enemies, according to, you know, fifth columnists within the US. All right, let's move on. The Washington Post, US plane, same story, US plane used in boat strike was made to look like civilian aircraft. Alrighty. Los Angeles Times, let's skip that one. The Aussie News, Adelaide Writers Festival cancelled after backlash to uninviting academic who celebrated October the 7th. So this is a story that seems to be all over the Australian news the last fair few days, really, is that they've got a Writers Festival, and the Australian government tried to interfere with who or who couldn't attend it, and then loads of the artists, writers, whatever, are complaining about that. So there you go. But if she celebrated October 7th, I mean, you know, how many times do I have to say it? I'm no Zionist. Far from it, you know. I'm not in favour. I don't like Bibi, right? But don't celebrate October the 7th, though. That also isn't good. Surely, that would also sort of say volumes about you if you if you did that. Can we not celebrate massacres either way? Is that too much to ask? Japan. Japan, you going with a lot of financial stuff, or that their prime minister is going to visit Korea, South Korea, and try and do all sorts of deals with the South Koreans. Closer ties between the Koreans and the Japanese. All right, China. Xinhua. Loads of stuff about Xi, as usual. Interestingly, though, I looked here, and certainly it's not at the top of their news agenda, anything about the Chinese embassy in London. The Chinese themselves don't seem to be talking about it. It's not really registering in their news cycle. So it's not a big deal for them, it seems, anyway. At a cursory glance, anyway. So they're certainly not leading with it. The Russians. Zelensky, his patrons won't escape responsibility for murders of reporters, says a diplomat. A Russian diplomat, I imagine. Okay. As you can imagine, Russian news is much more Ukraine-heavy nearly all the time. Air power. Missiles seen central to potential US military action against Iran. Russia's UN envoy puts civilian death toll from Kiev's attacks in December at 56. US ambition to claim Greenland driven by competition from Russia and China, say the White House. The Russians report. There you go. Okay. The Germans. What are our German cousins saying? Elon Musk. Oh, is this? Can you translate into English? It was in English a minute ago. It's a story about Elon Musk trying to get sole custody of one of his sons. Okay, TikTok star in court over 6 rapes. Okay, autonomous delivery cars in full throttle mode. Yeah, there's a really bad car crash where some people burnt alive in Germany. Chimney sweep dispute over 5,000 fireplaces. Okay, let's move on. It's all a bit sloppy. The French. Marine Le Pen returns to court for appeal of a graft conviction. So, yeah, I'll read the thing underneath because it pretty much says it all. The French far-right leader. She's far-right, didn't you know? She's far-right. She's not, of course. Pretty centrist. Pretty damn centrist, actually, in my opinion. Anyway, the French's far-right leader sentenced last year to 4 years in prison and a 5-year ban on holding an elected office after being convicted of embezzlement of public funds, goes back to court with 11 co-defendants for a 1-month trial starting Tuesday. Also, she's got her appeal, hasn't there? There's an appeal. Hopefully she'll win her appeals. Otherwise, I guess she does go to prison. And then obviously can't stand. But someone else will. That's the thing the left don't get when they try and, like, demolish people like Le Pen or the AfD in Germany or Nigel here or someone like Tommy or someone like Trump. Or when the left try and demolish the leaders of the of sort of right-leaning or right-of-centre political groups and movements and parties. It's like someone else will step in, though. Because you're not dealing with the actual grievances of nationalists and patriots and things. You're not dealing with any of that. So, okay, you can do lawfare against someone like Le Pen. Someone else will step into the breach because you haven't dealt with any of the problems that you, the left, have created. Right? Okay, we're getting near to the top of the hour. All right, let's read a few super chats on Rumble Rants. Fictagious says, here's an idea for conscription. Those that voted for Labour are the only ones that are eligible to be conscripted. Tie the vote to consequence. Thoughts? That's not a bad idea. I mean, I don't think that's ever been tried in the past at all that I'm aware of, certainly not in Britain. I mean, we don't really have conscription other than in times of World War. But as a principle, I quite like it. As a general principle, that's not bad. Yeah, if you wanted a government that's going to impose this on you, you get to go first. Yeah, some justice to that, actual justice to that. Tom Rat 247 says, Bo's Breakfast Club, BBC mug on the LT shop. Legally distinguishable colour patterns, but similar font. Start every morning with a simultaneous slurp. I must admit, someone on Twitter said BBC, i.e., Bo's Breakfast Club. So I'm sorry, if you're watching this, I can't remember who it was that said it, but I immediately replied saying, yes, I like that. I'm stealing that. That's good. Bo's Breakfast Club, BBC. So it's not actually mine. Credit where it's due. You know, I don't want to be accused of stealing jokes. All right. YouTube Super Chats. Zajutes149 says, is it time that we start reusing the term rotten borough for the safe seats that gets reserved for those who buy themselves into party positions? Yeah, I mean, not a bad thing. I'm a big fan, funny thing to say, but a big fan of 18th and 19th century British political history. Who isn't among us? No, I'm a history nerd. I'm a complete history nerd. So yeah, the idea of a rotten borough, just a completely corrupt constituency, essentially, just a completely contrived thing so that people can sit in Parliament. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Same person, Zajukes149 says, why is the British government paying compensation to perpetrators instead of the victims? Victims should be able to sue for the funds before a payout. Yeah, I mean, good point. Again, in principle, absolutely in principle. Perfectly valid point. I don't know if we know, I really don't know, if we know, you know, who his victims were back in the turn of the century, back in 2002 and before. I don't know if it's possible to ever find who the victims were. But that's not really what you're saying, is it? Yeah, the principle of that. Yeah. Guy from Stoke 6084, a Stokey there, says, hey, Bo, come and visit Budapest. It's like England before Blair. Budapest. I've never been there. I wouldn't mind to. Yeah, it's various places. I'd love to visit Vienna. There's loads of places on my bucket list I'd love to go. I'm reasonably well travelled. I've been a fair few places in my time, but there's still a load more on the list I'd love to go. Yeah, I'd like to see Budapest. I'd like to see Vienna. I'd like to see a number of Central and Eastern Europe. I've never been to Berlin. I'd love to go to Berlin. And finally, Field Marshal Dahl Browning, white. Shouldn't really salute if you're not in the military, should you? But there you go. Field Marshal Dawn Browning doesn't say anything, but gives 10 Aussie dollars. So thank you for that, Dawn. Appreciate it. All right, that is the hour. It has just clocked round to 9 a.m. So we'll leave it there for this morning. Thank you, as always, for joining Breakfast with Bo, the Bo Show, Bo's Breakfast Club, the Breakfast Club. Without you, it wouldn't be a thing. Try and make the best of your day. Try and make it count. Carpe diem. You know, seize the day. You'll only have this day once, ever. So, make the most of it. All right, until tomorrow, take care.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.